The Transformative Teen Years chapter from My Life Stories Through Mine Eyes by Pam Park. During my time at Davis High School, my involvement in school activities was limited, except for being a part of the tennis team. Although my abilities as a tennis player was not particularly noteworthy, it held a special place for me as my mom, who was an exceptional tennis player, assisted the coach, and my sister was also on the team. Interestingly, I attended summer school every year and accumulated enough credits to graduate half a year early. Among the elective courses I took, two stood out to me, Russian and auto repair. Auto repair was fun since we were able to tear apart an engine without having to put it back together. The friendships I formed during high school revolved around my active participation in Mariner Girl Scouts. I cherished the companionships of friends like Nancy Wildman, Ann Drinkard, Marv Frendenberg, and others, all of whom attended Davis High School. However, many of our Mariner friends lived about in the Woodlands, about 10 miles away. In those days, gas was 36 cents a gallon. We were from our diverse backgrounds, as Woodland, being a farming community, had a significant number of Hispanics. This diversity was stark in contrast to the monoculture environment prevalent at Davis High School, which posed challenges for me as one of the few minorities in that setting. Mariners was a truly remarkable community that I wholeheartedly embraced. It provided me with invaluable opportunities to grow and develop as an individual. I had the privilege of serving as a leader, chief boatswain of the troop. The Navy donated decommissioned boats to Mariner and Sea Scouts, the male scout troops. Our first boat was called the Pink, Tiki, and the second boat was Tiki II. The range of skills I acquired during this time was crazy, from learning to sand and paint and steer boats to sailing and mastering semaphore. I immersed myself in the world of knowledge and practical experience. I obtained certifications by the United States Power Squadrons, USPS, in seamanship and navigation of small boats, earned a radio license, honed my cooking skills using a wooden stove, became adept at shopping for a large group, handling fundraising and budgeting, and even learned how to construct rafts using intricate knot skills. These years with Mariners taught me indispensable lessons in organization, hard work, acquiring certifications, and understanding people. If my recollection serves correctly, the first boat, the Pink Tiki, was white with pink trimming. Our uniforms consisted of a pink crocheted hat, jeans, and work shirts. We had a blast boating up and down the San Joaquin River Delta and even mooring at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. The boat was old and had a lot of dry docks, so it was retired. Skipper Hoffman was able to secure an old Navy boat powered by a Buda diesel, which we aptly named Tiki II. On a side note, the two Sea Scouts, the boys, were able to have much nicer boats than Mariners from the Navy, a pet peeve of mine. Up to Skipper Hoffman's dismay, the Scouts did not want to accent the boat with pink paint. I'm pretty sure I argue with Skipper Hoffman, and she finally gave in, and we accented the boat in navy blue. It was my brother who came up with a compromise. We painted and covered the engine in pink, and he painted a tiki figure on it. We then made, not bought, uniforms that was a better reflection of us as a troop. But above all, I cherished the joy and camaraderie that came with it all. Being on the water and boating became my true passion during my teen years. Even now, I am happiest to be on, in, or near water. Mariners also became a lifeline for me during a challenging period when my parents went through a divorce. The support and love I received from my friends and leaders within the Mariner community were invaluable in helping me navigate those difficult times. They provided me with a sense of stability and belonging that made a profound difference in my life. One of our leaders, Skipper Hoffman, was a bundle of energy, an exceptional paralegal with an impressive intellect. She not only nurtured my personal growth, but also instilled in me the importance of speaking up when faced with injustice. Her guidance and mentorship were instrumental in shaping my character. Skipper Hoffman was someone I deeply respected, admired, and loved. End chapter. What My Parents Did Not Know About Me, from the book My Life Stories Through Mine Eyes by Pam Park On. During my teenage years, I perceived that my parents were not fully acquainted with who I truly was. One aspect that remained concealed from them, as well as my sister and brother, was my frequent use of profanity during junior high and high school. Amidst my parents' divorce, there were times when I skipped school. Surprisingly, Although my mom was aware of it, she seemed indifferent as long as I maintained good grades. This sense of detachment extended beyond school to activities outside of it. I was probably aloof as I didn't feel like my parents wanted to be involved in my activities other than tennis, which was disappointing, especially since I worked hard to receive the highest rank in the Mariner Girl Scouts. They had put so much effort and kudos to my brother for being an Eagle Scout. As a result of their seeming indifferent, I did not have a strong rapport with them. Looking back, they were probably trying to figure out their future with their looming divorce. Having said this, since I possess a strong work ethic and demonstrated initiative in various aspects of my life, they were probably unaware of how I felt. The next chapter, The Tomato Harvester. From a young age, I had vivid memories of being engaged in various forms of work, cleaning house for my piano teacher, Mrs. Miller, elementary school, pouring slip into concrete molds, elementary school, cleaning beauty salon, high school, etc. But the most grueling and dirtiest job was working on the tomato harvester. In high school, I worked a couple of summers on a tomato harvester. Working on a tomato harvester was an experience like unlike any other, stifling hot and exhausting. As a harvester moved through the fields, the dirt would kick up and swirl around us, covering everything in a thick layer of dust. To protect ourselves from the dirt and sun, we would don protective gear from head to toe. Although our clothes, hats, and gloves didn't deter the dough from sticking to our sweaty skin, we had to get up at the crack of dawn to get up to the fields right when the sun came up. Our job was to sort the unripe dirt, clocks, rocks, and even mice out of the red tomatoes that was then transported by a conveyor belt to the truck. A few friends worked on the same harvester. We shared laughter and conversations during breaks, helping to lighten the load. On some fortunate days, our Hispanic friends' mothers, who served as supervisors, would bring us mouth-watering Mexican food. This provided a much-needed energy boost and served as a reminder of the diverse backgrounds and cultures that came together on the harvester. Working on the tomato harvester provided me a profound understanding of the challenges faced by those who engage in manual labor, and it instilled in me a deep respect for farmers and laborers alike. It was interesting to note at that time period, there was only me and a couple of my friends who were not Hispanic or Mexicans. Very few Americans were work in the fields, even though it is a way to provide money for your family. It also helped me realize that behind every piece of produce we consume, there are hardworking individuals who dedicate their lives to cultivating and harvesting our food. And there is nothing tastier than a vine-ripe tomato. Delicious. End chapter.